Okay, we welcome Zev. We welcome back. Wasn't the same without you. Okay, so we can begin. Okay, great.
The dedication, Rabbi Rosenzweig.
Yes, I. But tonight's chair dedicated to a refuah lema for Fega Bas Nechama Yehudis, who undergoing a serious operation and needs a refuah shalema, and in the schus of the Divrei Torah of this year, we hope that that will contribute to, together with the tefillos, for refuah shalema. Okay. Okay, so we're in the middle of discussing the issue of Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael, or one aspect of it, and I will just add that this is a particularly it's serendipitous because it comes up in the daf that we're up to. But obviously, being already in the 3 weeks and close to Rosh Chodesh Av, this is all about really Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas HaMikdash, and it's really about lost opportunities and our yearning to, recapture some of what was, and, in terms of with Eretz Yisrael and with the Mokom HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. So as it turns out, propitious, I would say, topic, given the time of the year. We don't usually have a Monday night shiur this time of year. So, here we have, this convergence, which is interesting. Anyways, so the context of our discussion was the Gemara here on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. We'll just go through those couple of words again, and then I wanted to zero in a little bit more on the topic, and then next week, Yirtzeh Hashem, will pick up with something else. But the Gemara here on Zayin Amud Aleph, in discussing the case of Gemara tells the story that Rav Meir was seen eating a yerek in Beit Shan, seemingly without being mafresh trumos and maestros, and that Rebbe, having been told of this event, changed his psak on whether or not Beit Shan was in the gvulos. That caused a lot of flack in his family and in the community, which prompted him, to give a mini, on Chachmei HaMesorah and their prerogatives and their obligation to be Mechadesh, when they have, the authentic authority to do so, etc. And then Agav, the Gemara, questions the whole thing and wonders how it's even conceivable that Beit Shan would be excluded from the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, Agabe, Trumos, and Maestros. After all, there's an explicit pasuk that seems to indicate that that they are the borders. That's the pasuk, of course, in Shoftim. This is what the Gemara quotes here on Zion Amud Aleph. The Gemara says the following: Maskeflo Yehuda Bered Rab Shimon Ben Pazi. This is 3:6. About 11 lines from the top of the page. That Beit Shan is not part of the boundaries of Israel. But said, the Loho et Tanakh v'yespinoseha. So the psukim, speak about, what did happen there, what didn't happen there, whether it was, how it was treated, et cetera. But in the end of the day, it's clear that it's being treated. Whatever they did there or didn't do there, they used it lamas and la'oved, but clearly this is considered to be a part of Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense that we're speaking about it in this way. So then the Gemara says, Yishadam Rav Shem Ben Yakim, Mishum Rav Elazar Ben Pedas, Shamar Mishum Rav Elazar Ben Shemua. This pasuk in Shoftim is not relevant to us in this particular case. Of course, it's always relevant because this is a different historical era. And in this era, we're no longer interested in the boundaries of Yehoshua, but in the boundaries of Ezra. And that's what the Gemara concludes. Harbe krochim kivshim oli Mitzrayim velo kivshim oli Babel. There were many areas, cities, regions, where that were included in the boundaries of Yehoshua, but that were left out of the formal resettlement of Ezra. And that the reason for this was because the Kasavar, Kedusha Roshona Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Yasid Vavo, what happened in the time of Yehoshua was neutralized by the Korban. And therefore, what mattered was the second Kedusha of Ezra. And Ezra, number one, the geographic resettlement was much smaller than the kibbutz. And number two, even some of the areas that they could have included in it, they intentionally excluded for the sake of allowing there to be more abundant opportunities for aniyim in shvius. And that's what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara we have. So last week we discussed the problem. Last week and a little bit the week before, we discussed two problems. Number one, what does Kedusha Aleihem Aniyim B'Shvius have to do with Kedusha Eretz Yisrael? Is that a clash between two different principles? Or I worked a little bit to try to explain my view, which this is an internal matter. And that as a value generally, and Mrs. Hatlius Baritz more specifically, even more particularly than that, Shemitah, and I would add to the mix, by the way, all the things I said last time, but also the idea of Shemitah's Ksafim, which takes place during the end of the, at the end of the Shemitah year, which is also an opportunity to allow economic relief. So I think that Shvius, instead of being perceived as a overriding external value relative to Shvius, is something that also can be seen as part of, you know, the inside, an inner value of Shvius. One thing that we talked about. Second thing we talked about, and we're towards the end of discussing, was the question of why it is, as Rashi points out here, and as the Rambam formulates it as well, why is it that the Chazaka of Ezra seems to have had greater staying power than the kibush of Yehoshua? Because instinctively we would have thought the opposite. Number one, the geography was more expansive in the time of Yehoshua. Number two, we're talking about sovereignty as opposed to you know, the beneficence, you know, of another sovereign. Number three, even those distinctions aside, once Klal Yisrael was expelled from the land, once Korban took place, whether it was in the aftermath of Kibush or the aftermath of Chazaka, it would seem that Korban should neutralize both of those, right? Kibush and Chazaka. Why one more than the other? And very succinctly, this is the question that the Kesef Mishnah asks as well. So there are a number of answers to this question. Kesef Mishnah asks this question. Kesef Mishnah asks another question, and that is, why in the time of Yehoshua do we deem it only as an act of kibush? After all, when everything was finished in terms of the kibush, there was a chalukah and a yeshiva. So there was kibush and then there was chazaka. To put it the way the Kesef Mishnah does in Ochos Beis HaBechira, why is the chazaka of Ezra superior to the kibush and chazaka of Yehoshua? Okay. So we discussed several answers to this question. I mentioned the Radvaz was a fascinating view that Ezra's kedusha was kedushas peh. I mentioned the Rav's suggestion that this may be connected to Ezra linking, you know, kedushas Eretz Yisrael to at least the location of Yerushalayim. I talked about the possibility, which I want to talk about for another minute, not exactly like the Chesed Mishnah. Chesed Mishnah's point is that after Kibush there was Chazaka. So you, in the time of Yoshua, you had even more than what you had at the time of Ezra. But there are some, I think Achronim, who suggest that maybe the reason that Ezra's Chazaka was superior is because you had the Kibush of Yoshua and the Chazaka of Ezra, and that the Chazaka of Ezra was added to the Kibush of Yehoshua. Let me make myself clear. In other words, to the Chesed Mishnah's point, which is, didn't Yehoshua have Kibush and Chazaka? It's an interesting point. If you look at Chazaka in a de facto effect kind of a way, meaning, you know, the people live there and that generates its own reality, then I understand that ha'ara. But at the same time, you know, there seems to be a simple answer to that question. And that is that the entire Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was brought about by the Kibush. That did 100% of the Kibush, of the Kedusha. And therefore, it wasn't, there was Kibush and Chazaka, but the Chazaka part had nothing to do with the Kedusha, which had already been established. That's one way to say it. Or you could say that Chazaka can be Mekadesh in its own right. Once you have Kibush, you know, that's not a combination that works. So again, all of the Kiddush was through Kibush. And indeed, if you look carefully at the Rambam and Hilchos Trumos, I think we read this last week, the Rambam emphasizes, without telling you what he's responding to, but I suspect that he anticipated, you know, the question of the Kesef Mishnah, and that is that in the time of Yehoshua, the Kiddusha was through Kibush Bilvad. That's what he says. He says, Echziku, Yehoshua, but the Kibush Bilvad was the Mekadesh. And I suspect that that's his pointed response to somebody who might ask the Kesef Mishnah's question. So in a way, the answer to the question is, well, there's no combination because everything is Kibush driven. However, that doesn't preclude another perspective. And that is to say that the reason that Ezra's Chazaka was more effective than Yehoshua's Kibush is because it was a combination of Yehoshua's Kibush and Ezra's Chazaka. In other words, the background of the Kibush gave a different strength to the Chazaka. But of course, if you say that, you have to assume something, and that is that in the aftermath of the first Churban, the Kibush, you know, which was neutralized, wasn't completely obliterated. Now, that there remained a Shior, Shinyud Vavresh, there remained a remnant, there remained something left, a vestige, if you will, of that original effect from the Kibush. Otherwise, it's not true to say that Chazaka alone is no stronger, maybe it's even weaker, than Kibush. But a Chazaka, which combines with the previous Kibush, right, not at the time of Yehoshua, Kibush and Chazaka, but Kibush of Yehoshua, Chazaka of Ezra, right, that is an all-powerful combination. But in order to say that, you have to say that the Kibush of Yehoshua, right, wasn't completely obliterated. Now, the language of, this is what I want to get back to, of the Rambam, Hilchos Beis HaBechira, might lead you to believe that it was. Because the Rambam uses the expression in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, if you look again at not this week's new Mar Mekomos, but last week's Mar Mekomos. If you look at Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha, Perek Vav, is on for page one, Perek Vav, Halacha, Tezayin, in the middle of the halacha, the Ram says, once the kibush was neutralized by Churban, in the kibush of Yehoshua, in other words, batala kibush, the kibush was obliterated, v'niftara min haTorah, the ma'aser semishvius, that's part of okay. The there was an exemption from ma'aser and from shvius, shaharei eina min Eretz Yisrael. It is no longer part of Eretz Yisrael. So give me, I'm just 1 second, I'd be right back. We have a technical problem.
I'm coming.
Okay, Shahare Einam Me'eretz Yisrael. So the phrase Shahare Einam Me'eretz Yisrael is a bit of a is a bit of an exaggeration. It's a bit surprising. It sounds like what the Rambam is saying is that the Churban so undid the kibush that the status of the lands that remained were as if they were not part of Eretz Yisrael, if nothing had ever happened. Indeed, the Tosfos Rid in Gittin Daf Mem Zayin has a similar language when he talks about, you know, Kinyan Akum Lahafkiya Mikdusha Sa'aretz. The question is, does the Rama mean it or not? Because if he really meant it, then this idea that we're, you know, pursuing, which is that the Kibush of Yehoshua was combined with the Chazakah of Ezra, would be problematic. Unless you say that in the aftermath of the kibush, the you know, before the chazakah, it was obliterated, and then in the context of chazakah, there was a rehabilitation, you know, of the kibush too. That's possible.
Harav, according to the Rambam, he holds that Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, its kedusha stayed even after the first exile. So there was a vestige of the Kedusha that stayed. Yerushalayim. So
that had nothing to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That has to do with the Kedushas Hashchina of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash.
But
so on the surface, those are two different... What's that?
No, I'm saying it was still part of the Commonwealth of Yeshua and following. Yeshua was a constant conquest. It was David HaMelech was part of that conquest of that first commonwealth.
No, 100%. I'm just saying that the Rambam actually in Halacha Tazayin, when he uses this phrase, Einam in Eretz Yisrael, is actually contrasting Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Kedushas Yerushalayim. The Halacha begins by V'lama ni'omer b'miktosh v'Yerushalayim Kedush Rishon HaKitchel Yasid Lavo Ubi Kedushas Shar Eretz Yisrael Linyan Shviya Semaizos Kibachim Lo Kitchel Yasid Lavo. This is to explain actually the contrast. So it would be very peculiar if the answer was, you know, due to Yerushalayim and the Mikdash.
Well, because that's
exactly what he's contrasting it to. So it sounds like what he's saying is that these are two, again, I mentioned the Rav's view, which is that
part of the second part of Yerushalayim HaKodesh. During Ezra's time, the whole started from Yerushalayim. It was Yerushalayim and outward.
Yeah, I mentioned that in the name of the Rav. Yeah, 100%. That's a different answer. That's a different point of view. And that, but again, that's not because of the, that's not a rehabilitation of the kibush of Yehoshua. That's saying in the power of Yerushalayim and the Mikdash in their own right, that, you know, gives strength to the chazakah. If you want to know why the chazakah of Ezra is stronger than the kibush of Yehoshua, that's one of the Rav's suggestions. The answer is because it was anchored in the kedusha olamis of the Shekhinah geographically, namely Kedushas Mikdash Yerushalayim. That's a different perspective. What I'm trying to say, and it doesn't sound that way so much in the Rambam either, unless you think that's what he means by chazakah, but what I'm trying to suggest at the moment is something a little different, and that is that chazakah is not stronger than kibush, but the kibush of Yehoshua followed by the chazakah of Ezra, that's a combination. I'm just now trying to explain. So how does that fit in with Rambam's stronger use than we would have expected of Einam in Eretz Yisrael? Unless you want to say that he means that until it was, you know, kind of rehabilitated with the chazakah of Ezra, but I don't think Yerushalayim helps you with that because he's using that expression to explain why it is that when Yerushalayim had continued to have Kedusha Olamis, that you know, that the rest of Eretz Yisrael before the time of Ezra was in the category of Eina Eretz Yisrael. So I think it's also possible that the Rambam didn't mean it completely, even though he says it. And that is based on the following other yisod, something that the Rambam again used to speak about a lot, but that the Rishonim spoke about even earlier. And that is based on a bunch of Rambams actually, and other sources, that implies strongly that even before Ezra, and certainly after Ezra, the kibush of Yehoshua continued to be a factor. Nothing to do with Yerushalayim, but in its own right. And that, of course, Rambam, just 1 second, in Hilchos Sanhedrin. Yeah.
To make a comment, Chazaki is a terminology that we use in reference to a Kenyan.
Yeah.
A Kenyan requires a Nosein and a Makabel. Well, right. you buy a piece of property, you can make a chazaka, and that's your kinyan. By the kibush of Yeshua, there was no chazaka. They grabbed everything. There was no voluntary turning over to Yeshua any part of Eretz Yisrael by the Kananim. But when it came to Ezra, it was done through the Rishoyon of Koresh, and that was a transmission that you could use the terminology of chazaka. Chazaka cannot apply to Yeshua's kibush.
Well, two things. Number one, kibush itself seems to have the status of a kinyan. That's the famous sugya of Shavon. Yeah,
but not at the voluntary gift from the Nosein.
Okay, but I don't know that makes it weaker, frankly.
It's not chazaka, it's kibush. So it's a different get.
Right, I'm just saying kibush does have meaning in halacha. Kibush is considered to be a kinyan.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but it's not
chazaka.
It's kibush.
Kibush in its own right creates a kinyan. But right. but that's the chazaka here isn't necessarily the chazaka of kinyan with the way the Rambam uses it. It's more like, you know, they were, as I'm going to explain in a minute, kind of the Mesiras Nefesh. He doesn't describe it as a kinyan chazaka so much. But I hear, maybe. So let me develop my point just for a minute about the after effect of Yehoshua even after the Churban remaining relevant. That, of course, is based on the famous Rambam we've spoken about in the past in Hilchos Sanhedrin. So if you look here again in the first, in the earlier Mar Makomos, probably on page 3, look at the Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Perek Dalid, Halacha Vav. Everybody have that? So the Ram says, "Ein Tomkins Kena B'chutz Laretz." I don't know what the number is.
Line 14.
But it's page 3. 14.
Line 14. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, "Ein Tomkins Kena B'chutz Laretz." You cannot give smicha. You cannot bestow smicha. Smicha's kenim, in other words, lahora. In Chutzaretz, the Apapi She'elo Asomchin Nismachu Beretz Yisrael. Even if the Somchin, the people are giving Smicha, themselves were qualified, meaning they themselves received Smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Afilo Hayas Somchin Ba'aretz Vanismach B'Chutzaretz Ein Somchin. Not only that, but even if the Somchin are in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if it was through Zoom or they were standing on the border, right? You have to be careful. People think you can do anything through Zoom, but you have to be very careful. Either way, sounds like Zoom smicha wouldn't work. The real smicha, ish mipiish. Ein tzarach lomar imaya somchin b'chutzaretz v'nismachin ba'aretz. Interesting. Not for now. This is a Sanhedrin issue, but it sounds like the somchin being in Eretz Yisrael is even more critical than the nismachin, meaning the source of the smicha there, rather than the recipient of the smicha. That's an interesting phenomenon, right? I might have thought it were equal. I might have thought it the opposite. But by saying the words, the Ein Tzarech Lomar, Im Hayu Asomchin B'chutz La'aretz, V'Nismachin B'aretz, that's even worse, right? So it sounds like smicha must come from the source of it, the authority of it, must come from Eretz Yisrael, but it also must be received there. Hayu Shneim B'aretz, Somchin Osafa B'she'eno Im Asmuchin B'mokamah. I guess you could do Zoom in Eretz Yisrael, right? Ela Sholchin Lo, what does this have to do with us? We have enough trouble with Chulin. Why are we venturing into Sanhedrin? The answer is for the next line. This is the famous Rambam. Rambam says, "V'chol Eretz Yisrael shechziku ba'olei Mitzrayim ru'uya l'smicha." The Rambam says that the land of Eretz Yisrael legabe smicha is not the boundaries of Ezra, but the boundaries of Yehoshua. Number one, the Nosei Kelim all discuss, where did the Rambam get this from? It's very tamua. Where did the Rambam get it from? What are those mysterious Rambams? We're going to have another one today. Right? So there's no obvious Gemara where he got this from, although the Kesef Mishnah tries and the Radvaz tries. You know, we give them tremendous accolades for effort. And they may even be right, partially. But the point is the Rambam had to think that this was what I call global evidence. Right? Meaning it's how he understood many different things. Because it's not clear in the Gemara. But the second question is, not where did he only, where did he get it from, but what does it even mean? Doesn't the Rambam, Nuchas Beis HaBechira and Nuchas Trimos, make it clear that Kedusha Rishona, Kitchel Shaita, Velo Kitchel Yasid Lavo? It was a Korban. The Kedusha Rishona is Batel. Ptela. Not only that, but it gets worse. It is a little bit problematic. The Rambam used the expression Hare Eina Min Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it means Legabe Trumos Maisros. Maybe that's the key to emphasize. Even then, it's a startling formula. You didn't need to say it. And especially in light of the Rambam and Hilchos Sanhedrin, you don't need to say it. So if you look at the Radvaz, this is a famous Radvaz. Radvaz says, Alpha Bishol Ziko Olim It's Ole Babel. Alpha Gav De Eina Keretz Yisrael Inin Trumos Maisros U'Leksas Dvarim. He's asking a question, right? Why are the boundaries of smicha dependent upon kibush ole Mitzrayim, Yoshua, right? There's no trumas to maestros, right? The inyan minu smuchim hakol hu eretz Yisrael. The gabe the din of smicha, it's still eretz Yisrael. The chain le inyan ador be eretz Yisrael. Right, the Gemara says, "Hador beretz Yisrael, misha dor bechutzarts kamishen lo lokal." You know, yishav haaretz. A bunch of Gemaras. He says all those depend on kibush Yoshua. Ulinyan hanikbar ba, the special school of kavura beretz Yisrael. Ulashar kedusha beretz Yisrael dina shava, dinam shava. Kvar herich bazeh bal sefer kafter vaferach. Kaftar of Farach was a Rishon who specialized in Inani Eretz Yisrael. He wrote a sefer called, his name was Ashtori Aparchi, he wrote a sefer called Kaftar of Farach on Inani Eretz Yisrael. And there he develops this whole thesis that already the Avos, when they were given the Haftaka of Eretz Yisrael, from then on there were certain skulas, certain dinim of Eretz Yisrael began even then. Right? So Rabbi Welsh sent me some sofer the other day also. When did, Inyanei Eretz Yisrael begin? The Avos, etc. So the Rav Zatzal used to quote his father as saying, and this is also printed in the Igros HaGrid, but it's one of the things that he said very, very frequently. And that is that there are, what he used to call it, there are two different dinim. There's one din of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and there's another din of Shem Eretz Yisrael. That's how I used to say it. Meaning the Mokom of Eretz Yisrael was not compromised by the Chorban. All the boundaries of Yehoshua, once they were part of the Mokom of Eretz Yisrael, that remained. Just dinim having to do with Karka shel Eretz Yisrael, mitzvos atluyos, those were dependent on whether kitchel liyasid lavo or lo kitchel liyasid lavo. And basically the Ramban said, the Rav Toria, Rav Ashtori Aparchi certainly says it, but even earlier, and a much more mainstream person, namely the Ramban, says it. The Ramban, in his Perish Tegitin, and Abbeis Amid Aleph, it's famous there, when do you have to say Pranadaktav Fanei Nechtam? If you bring a get from Chutzlarts, what's Chutzlarts? What's Eretz Yisrael? So there's a massive tosis about Akko. Everybody's familiar with it. And the Ramban and the Ritva, Ramban and the Hashmatos of the Ramban, makes the distinction that even after there was no Kedushas Karka in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, like Akko, right? But there remained what he calls Chibas Eretz Yisrael, meaning the special din, Rav Menashe, you know, Kipi used to kiss the stones, you know, of whatever it was, because of Chibas Eretz Yisrael. What is Chibas Eretz? What is it? It's Shem Eretz Yisrael, basically. The same idea. And the Ramban says the same thing, by the way, in the very beginning of Chidushim in Megillah, when he talks about, you know, Yaros HaMukafos Choma, and, you know, Mishum Kvodon Shel Eretz Yisrael, you know, in terms of Krach and Ir, when it comes to celebrating Purim. So there too, he has a similar idea that even though the Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael is dependent on this Machlokas, the shame, the Chibas Haaretz, or the Shem Haaretz, does not. And essentially, this is very consistent with what Ramban in Sefer HaMitzvos, his famous Hashmata, where he counts the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which the Rambam does not. And it sounds, again, like it has nothing to do with mitzvah HaTluyus Baaretz and the Kedushas Karka and the Tzvua. Reb Chaim Cohen, one of the Bali Tosas, quoted in Tosas on Daf Kuf Yud in Ksuvis, says that Bizmanenu, there's no real urgency to live in Eretz Yisrael, because anyway, you can't accomplish the mitzvah Tluyos, because most people think that Kedushas Haaretz is Rabbanon. So Reb Chaim Cohen ties mitzvah Tluyos and Yishuv Haaretz together. And Ramban thinks it's wrong, and seems to think that it doesn't depend on these issues either. So there is a broader idea, whatever you want to call it. What you call it is probably less significant than identifying where it applies. The Rav thought it applied to, in the Rambam, of course, here, to Smicha, that's clear. Also to Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa applies only in Eretz Yisrael, but seems like, according to the Rambam, the boundaries of Yehoshua should be the applicable ones. That's a whole discussion in the Rambam in Perek Tes, Hilchos Rotzeach, Perek Tes or Perek Yud, about the status of Evra Yarden. That even though Evra Yarden was probably not part of the boundaries of Ezra, that's indicated by the Rambam in Hilchos Shemitah, then nonetheless, there's a discussion about Egla Rufa. Because Egla Rufa doesn't depend on Kedushas Karka. It depends on the Makom of Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh is the famous issue about Kiddush HaChodesh that Tosas asks and that Chaschinuch deals with. Namely, it seems like that that the rule that L'chatchila Kimitzion Teitzei Torah, that you require Eretz Yisrael for Ibur HaChodesh and Kid for Ibur HaShana and Kiddush HaChodesh, sounds that applied even after the first Churban, before Ezra. You know, it's between the first Churban and the resettlement. Time of Yechezkel. So the Yerushalmi basically, Tosas quotes as Yerushalmi, famous issue. They ask, like, how could that be? There was no Eretz Yisrael at that time, because it was after the Churban, before Ezra. So Minchas Chinuch's famous answer, Dr. Maybrook will like this, is that no, that depends on Kedushas Yerushalayim. That's Minchas Chinuch's answer. And that's Kedushas Hashchina Shein
B'Teila. Where is that Minchas Chinuch? Where is the Minchas Chinuch?
Right in the beginning, it was a mitzvah Dalid. You know, in the beginning of... So he says, yeah, no, that depends on Kedushas Yerushalayim, not Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. But the Rav's answer to that question, and many others as well, is no, Kiddush HaChodesh, Yibra HaShana, has nothing to do with the Karka of Eretz Yisrael, they have to do with Shem Eretz Yisrael. Even in the time, even after the first Korban, even before Ezra, there was still a Shem Eretz Yisrael after Kibush Yehoshua. And that may be the pshat, this is also seems to be, you know, Par Halim Davar Shel Tzibur. Again, this is another Minchas Chinuch. On Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur, was it Kuf Chaf maybe, where in the beginning of Ayikra, where it sounds in the Rambam, in Pirshas Mishnayos, in Horios, that the boundaries for Parhalim Davar Shel Tzibur again, in the boundaries of Yehoshua, even after the Korban. Let me make it clear. What is Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor? It is a situation where Bezna Gadol makes a mistake. As a result, the majority of Klal Yisrael violates, based on the erroneous psak of the Bezna Gadol. So in that circumstance, if it's the majority who violate, you bring a single korban instead of everybody bringing an individual korban. So the Gemara says, yeah, that depends on the majority of Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, not the majority of world Klal Yisrael. It could be minority of world Klal Yisrael, but if it's a majority of Eretz Yisrael Klal Yisrael, then you treat it like the majority, and vice versa. Everybody with me? So now the question is, what are the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael for this halacha? Klal Yisrael sheba Eretz Yisrael ikri kahal. Kahal Yisrael sheba chutz laretz lo ikri kahal. What is Eretz Yisrael? What is chutz laretz? So you would have thought, and that's what the Mikas Chinuch Lishitaso assumes, that it depends on Yoshua and Ezra, depends on the same issue. In which case, after the Korban, we should be calculating based on the boundaries of Ezra. But it sounds like the Rambam doesn't do that. So the Rambam seems to be the Shitasa. This is the same Rambam, meaning the Rambam distinguishes between Kedushas Karka, the Tvua of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to Shem Eretz Yisrael. That's what's Koveya for Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibor, for Kiddush HaChodesh, for Ibra Hashana, for Kvura, like the Kafta Farah says, for Nevua, possibly. Like, if you only have Nevua and Eretz Yisrael, what are the boundaries? So I mentioned last week, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazet, you know, has a special, it certainly only began once Kol Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. That to do with Karka of Eretz Yisrael? Probably not. There are many dinim have to do with the Mokom. They say Eser Kedushinim, you know, and Eretz Yisrael Kodeshus Mikol Aratzos, and the Gemara says, because Bikurim Shtei Alechem, we've talked about it before, before Shavuos, Bikurim Shtei Alechem, and Omer. So it seems, again, this has nothing to do with the Kark of Eretz Yisrael. It has to do with the Makom of Eretz Yisrael. So all of these show that the Rambam really holds that even after Kibush Yoshua was neutralized by the Korban, and that was Koveya when it came to Shemitah, and when it came to Trumos and Maisros. However, there still is a Shem Eretz Yisrael, because there's still a remnant, right, of that Kibush. So then maybe what you could say is that when you had that original Kibush wasn't completely wiped out, there's still many dinim, many echoes of that halacha. And then you have the resettlement of Ezra, the combination of the two. It's almost like Ve'itivcha v'hir b'cham yavosecha, like I mentioned the other week. But here, where we're expanding rather than restricting and limiting the Kedusha. Okay, so that's, I think, another potential way to explain why it is that Chazakah, not that Chazakah is superior, but it's a combination. Not the kind of Kesavish's combination. This combination, but with the caveat that you have to square the Rambam's language, Einam in Eretz Yisrael, with his larger view, that is that post-Kibush, right, the effect of Yoshua's Kibush is still something which was enduring. Okay, and then finally, there's a pshat that I personally like and that I mentioned last week and that I have my own wrinkle to, I think, and that is that, you know, maybe Chazakah simply is superior to Kibush. And that is because Kibush, as I say, is when you're in a, you know, position of strength and you have a sense of security and you have the Rabbon Shalom and Hashgacha and, you know, and might and military prowess on your side. And it's a charismatic act, which just as it can be done, it can be undone. And maybe the idea is that chazaka is an act of Mesiras Nefesh. I'm not so much focusing on the kinyan part of it, although maybe there's an element of that too, but maybe aside from the kinyan, simply the hard work, the sticking it out, the living there, knowing, that parnassa is going to be difficult, security is going to be difficult, that it could be taken away from you unless you're tenacious. Maybe that reflected a certain bond between Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Maybe that was what was enduring. And then the answer to Kesef Miss's question is even clearer. Namely, the chazakah that takes place after Kibush, that's not the chazakah which is Mekadesh. Not just because you don't need it anymore because 100% was done by Kibush, or because the combination maybe of the two at that point isn't really effective, but because it's a different kind of chazakah. It's the chazakah of no worries, of prosperity, and so on. But the chazakah of Ezra, that level of, that's why a lot of people didn't even come. And then there's a certain irony, because that's our next issue that I want to discuss, and that is the question of B'ez Gulchem. There's a certain irony, because on the one hand, because all of Klal Yisrael didn't come, that limited the effect. On the other hand, the fact that they didn't come reflects how difficult things were and accentuates the Mesiras Nefesh and the, power, the bonding power, if you will, of those who did come. So it would have been better if everybody had come, in uncertain circumstances. But the fact that they didn't highlights how uncertain it was and credits even more the ones who did and who were Moser Nefesh. And maybe that's part of the Mekadesh. Maybe that's part of it. And I think there's a Moser Haskel there, more generally for Kedusha. So now I want to turn my attention to the question of what really is Bizman HaZeh, the status of Kedusha Sa'aretz and the issue of B'ez Kochen. Before I do that, it sounded like there might have been a couple of questions, and so I'm going to take a pause. Yeah. Ari, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm wondering why we would say that Shem Eretz Yisrael lasts more than Kedushas Karka. One would have thought that Kibush Yehoshua, the Churban, wouldn't have destroyed Kedushas Karka. That's something more intrinsic, and Shem Eretz Yisrael is something more malleable that Churban may have destroyed and Ezra then would have redefined. But we seem to be doing it the other way, saying that Yehoshua's Kibush has an expansive view, even though Churban would have destroyed that.
Right, you're just making a comment.
Well, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. Why would Kedushas Karka be able to be destroyed by Churban while Shem Eretz Yisrael would somehow last? One would have thought Kedushas Karka is not something that could be destroyed. I would Truma some ice.
I think the point is that Kedushas Karka is a more technical and a narrower idea than Shem Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Kedushas Karka means that the soil is invested and what the soil produces, in other words, therefore, has a status of Kedusha. Mm-hmm. And, the conditions need to be ripe, for that to happen. And again, it's more of a, I don't mean that it's technical and that it is, doesn't have, important implications, ashkafically. But at the end of the day, it is narrower. But the idea of Shem Eretz Yisrael's meaning has to do with kind of the larger, relationship between the people and the land. So we could say it this way. Like Rav Hirsch in his writings, says something which is totally obvious, but like all great comments, is insightful. And, then you say, yeah, that's so true. And that is that, he just has, for him, it's a very big theme that, one of the unique features of Judaism and Jewish people and Jewish history is the fact that almost every other people, he said, arise, their origins are in their land. It's like a very organic kind of a thing and a very defining kind of thing. And, Dafka, Klal Yisrael, were born, in various stages, obviously, in Mitzrayim, you know, in the Midbar and Har Sinai, you know, and things like that. And then, of course, they were completed when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. But and that, you know, forever, you know, establishes that you there can be an Am Yisrael outside of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it was born outside of Eretz Yisrael. It can return there, albeit, of course, at a great loss of dimensions. So, like, how does this, you know, relationship between, you know, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, like, you know, what are the stages, what are the phases of that? So the answer is that on some level, you know, the Haftakot Avraham Avinu, the various Haftakot Avraham Avinu, and their repetition, you know, to the rest of the Avos, you know, as part of that, and the things that take place in Eretz Canaan and outside of it, you know, and then, you know, the Hevesi, you know, together with the Arba Lashonos HaGeula, you know, and then, you know, the promise and the shattered promise, you know, with the Meraglim, you know, and so on and so forth until they actually enter Eretz Yisrael. And then there's the Kibush and the Chazaka, you know, and all these things, and the Chalukah, and those are different phases. And then you have Korban, you know, and et cetera. So what I'm trying to say is that I think the idea here is that every stage, every phase further concretized, you know, that bond. And even if there were setbacks, the setbacks could undo and neutralize, you know, some of the halachic applications, but the shame idea is that they could never reverse, you know, those steps. And to me, that intuitively is very compelling.
In other words, Trumos and Maestros is a either it is or it isn't. It's very technical. It's either it is Minas Yisrael with the Kibush or not. And shame is more expansive. It has remnants. It can be pulled over. So like, it can,
you know, it's Kibitzion Teitzei Torah, Leshifno Sidrashu Vasa Shama, you know, and things like that. And, you know, that's my view, and I've spoken with this a lot in other contexts, is that the whole Eretz Yisrael, especially the shame Eretz Yisrael, a lot of these things are all about the I mentioned a couple weeks ago also about the, you know, the national headquarters of the Jewish people. So it's all part of that. You know, that never changes. That only gets stronger and stronger, even when there are practical reverses, you know, in terms of, you know, ramifications, you know, halachic ramifications. That's the idea.
What's the status of Eberle Yarden?
Eberle Yarden is a fascinating question. You know, and that's, I mentioned it a little bit when I was talking about Eglah Rufa a minute ago. It's a big issue, especially in Bikurim, of course, because of, you know, Eretz Zavas Chalav U'Dvash. So there's Machlokas and Mishnayos already, you know, about Eber Yarden. And of course, in the Parshios that we've been reading, you know, with, you know, the Yerusha Sa'aretz, what's the status of Eber Yarden? So again, in the, there's a famous, extensive tshuva of the Tashbates on Eber Yarden, where he talks about, what about Kvura? You know, what about Nevuah? Exactly the questions that you're asked. Did it have shame Eretz Yisrael but not Kedushas Karka? You know, or vice versa. What was the status of Eber Yarden? Clearly it had in some things the status of Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't Eretz of Askalov and Vash, and in other things not. So this is a very
Trumas and Maestros and Eber Yarden, there was no Mina Torah, there's no Chiyuv Trumas and Maestros.
Depends if at which point, and you know whether it was part of the kibush of Yoshua, but not of definitely not Ezra.
The kibush of Moshe.
I mentioned that in Ezra, in the Ezra, you know, the Rambam says pretty clearly that all Eber Yarden was excluded from the resettlement of Ezra, and yet there's discussion about Eber Yarden when it comes to Eglah Rufa and Perek Yud. Hilchos Rotzeach. Yeah. So its status at different points is a big issue. But, you know, in general, even at the optimum of time, you know, it wasn't Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash, and it might have had other limits as well. Again, the Kafta of Farach discusses it, the Tashbates discusses it, there's a lot of discussion about it. Okay. Now, anybody else have a question before we want? I want to discuss now the status of Kedusha Sa'aretz. Especially for the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, is very influential. Bismaneinu. All right? No questions? We're good?
Good.
Okay. So let's continue. If you look at the Rambam, and if you look at Rashi and our sugya, the impression, mostly, the Rambam, if you read the Rambam Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and the Rambam Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph, in the beginning, the clear impression that you have is that Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shaita Velo Kitchel Yasid Lavo, the Kibush of Yoshua was terminated. We just discussed that it might have been terminated. That doesn't mean that it didn't leave, you know, a huge, you know, impression, and that there weren't aspects of it, you know, that that continued absolutely, right, to you know, to be real. Okay. Kedusha Shnia, the Kedusha of Ezra, according to Rashi here in Chulin, and according to the Rambam Bechira and in Trumos, is Kitchel Shaita and Kitchel Yasid Lavo. We were just trying Kedusha to be more enduring than Yehoshua's, right? But it's all based on the premise, and it's not a, like a guesswork premise, not speculation, that Kedusha Shnia Vezra is permanent. We're saying that because Rashi said it and the Rambam says it in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and in Hilchos Trumos. Just look for Hilchos Trumos for a minute, right, where the Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Hey, Kol Shosiko Olam Mitzrayim in Iskadish Kedusha Rishona Kivin Shigalu Bitlu Kushasan, similar to what he said in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, the Kedusha Rishona was Batal. That's my deal that he's answering the Kesem Mishnah. It was not permanent. Even Shalom B'nei Agola, when Ezra and his B'nei Agola came, the Zikrub Mikta Sa'aretz, Kinshua Kedusha Shnia, they invested a second Kedusha, Omedes Liolam, which was permanent, that's where he says it, Lishaita, in its time, Uli Asid Lava, and for time in the future. And then he adds, Ar Gemara, Yidichu Asama Mekomo Shechziku Bem Oli Mitzrayim V'lo Shechziku Bem Oli Bavel, Kishahoyu V'lo Patrum and Atrumah V'maisus Kedishis V'cho Aliyam Aleyam Aniyam B'Shviyis, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and Rebbe, that's Ar Gemara, Hitir, right, Beit Shan, Me'osan Mekomo Shechziku Bem Oli Bavel, V'hu Nimna, right, Al Ashkelon Upatram and Amaisras. Great. So definitely, if you look at Hilchos Beis HaBechira and Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph, Halacha Hey, right? The Chusa of the Rambam is completely clear. That's why it's so shocking when you look at the end of the Perek, right, and he drops his bombshell. So if you look at the next, not the next one, but the one after that, Perek Aleph Hilchos Trumos Halacha Chaf Vav, here is one of the most famous and most controversial Rambams. Here the Rambam declares that Kedushas Truma, and probably Maisras, Bizman Hazeh is only Drabana. Rambam says, A Truma Bizman Hazeh, Truma in our time, even the resettled areas of the Olei Babel, this was true even when Ezra was alive, even before the second Churban, even then, that's shocking. It's not like we misread the Rambam. He said very clearly that Kedusha Shnia, Kitchel Shaita, even after the Churban, it was Kadosh. And he's talking about Le'inyan, Trumos, Maisros, Vias. Those are the things he mentions in Hilchos Beis HaBechira and in Hilchos Trumos. So how in the end of the halacha, the end of the parak, 20-odd halachos later, 21, how do you all of a sudden say that the whole thing is only Drabanan? Even as you're acknowledging Kedusha Shnia, even before the Churban. She'ein l'cha truma shel Torah ela b'Eretz Yisrael bavad. Truma shel Torah requires Eretz Yisrael. Ubizman shekol Yisrael sham, and only at a time, or rather at a time, when all, question what it means, all or majority, or large majority, or majority of the Shvatim, or majority of each Shev, it's hard not to even clear what it all means, but Bizman shekol Yisrael sham, shenemar kisavou bias kolchen, kishahayu b'Yerusha Rishona, just like at the time of Yoshua, everybody participated. The commotion asin alasa b'Yerusha Shlishis, and as will reoccur in the time of Mashiach, lo kishahayu b'Yerusha Shnia, shahayisa b'Yimei Ezra, shahayisa bias miktsasa. The flaw of bias miktsas, lo bias kulam, undermined Trumas Doraisa. Lefikach lo kiva osam in HaTorah. The chen yirali. Now this is fascinating because I think I mentioned this already last week. Or, you know, the Rambam rarely says yirali. It seems to me, when he says he does himself write that whenever he says yirali, it's because he doesn't have an explicit makar, right? That became kind of a semi-humorous, you know, issue in the Mefarshei Rambam, because there are a lot of things that the Rambam says that we don't know. I mentioned before, he has a Chiddush, the Hagdar of Eretz Yisrael for Smicha is the boundaries of Yoshua. Where did he get that? He doesn't say you really, right? So here, the Rambam doesn't say yearly on the Bein Halacha, namely, that the absence of Bias Kolchem makes Truma B'Zman Hazeh Darabanan. You see, there's no explicit Gemara that says that. We'll see in a moment. But that he doesn't say yearly for. That's like, he thinks that there's a source for that. Maybe global evidence, but evidence. It's on the extension from Trumos to Maestros, right? That's where you get the issue. The chen yirali, shehu adin b'maestros, she'ein chayavim b'zman hazeh, ela b'divrayim k'truma. So his chiddush is that ein chayavim b'zman hazeh, ela b'divrayim k'truma, to extend it even to Maestros. Now, of course, there's a bit of a chiddush in general that you can split between Trumos and Maestros. Typically, we think they go together. But there's another interesting a parallel issue, I think I mentioned last week, and that is, for which produce is there a Doraisa obligation of Trumos and Maestros? Some people think only Dagon Tirosh V'Yitzar. Others say all peros. Some people say shivas aminim. And there are those who distinguish between trumos and maestros. So this idea in general that there might be differences between trumos and maestros is something that needs to be looked at. Either way, the Rambam isn't sure about maestros, but he's certainly sure about truma. That's the Rambam. The Raiva disagrees. The Raiva says, Omer Avram, lo kivein lahalacha yafe. Right? The Rambam conclusion is incorrect. Dalkaimelon, Rabbi Yochanan, Dam Rabbi Yivamos, Trumos Bizman Hazeh Doraisa. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that Trumos in our time is Min HaTorah. Hu Atzmo Nira Shekach Kosa B'Tchilas HaSefer, says the Raivid. The Rambam himself really seemed to leave this impression in the beginning of the Perek. And in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, you could have added. It's true that chalav is manazez drabanan because of lack of bias kolchem, but that doesn't mean that trumos is. So whose position is mechudash? Well, you'll see. Just look at the Gemara in Ksuvis for a moment. Second, that should be on page 3. Right, page 3, I think. You have Suvis Chaf Hei Amud Aleph?
22.
Line 22. Well, the Gemara here discusses whether Trumas is Drabanan, whether Chala is Drabanan. Gemara says kasavar. Tshuva b'zman hazeh d'rabbana. V'chala d'raisa. U'maskinan. If the Gemara says as a man damra holds that truma in our time is drabanan, and chala is daraisa. Umaskina mitruba drabanan the chala daraisa. Ukadash kachinu ravuna bered ravashua the rabanan. Rum ravuna bered ravashua ashkachtinu the rabanan, where we found the rabanan the day rav, the yasiv kamri, afilaman damar truma vizmana zed rabanan. Even those who hold that truma in our time is only drabanan, chala d'oraisa. Even if truma is only drabanan b'zman hazeh, chala is min haTorah. Why? Because sharei zayin shekivshu, the zayin shechilku, mischayvu b'chala v'lo mischayvu b'truma. There were 14 years after Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, so there were 7 years of kibush. And 7 years took for them to, you know, to apportion Eretz Yisrael properly to all of the families and all of the Shvatim. So for those first 14 years, there was no Chiyuv Trumos, Maestros, Shvius. That only began, all that began after 14 years. However, V'haya b'vo'achem la'aretz, based on the Pasuk in Parashas Shlach, immediately upon entry into Eretz Yisrael, challah was obligatory. So you see that challah can be chayiv even when truma is not. So too, challah could be daraisa b'zman hazeh, even if truma is rabban. That's the Gemara's idea. Okay? Shor zayin shekishuv zayin shechilku neschayiv b'challah v'lo neschayiv b'truma. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara says, "Vamina lahu ana," but I'll tell you, "Adarav," the opposite. Afila mandamar truma b'zman hazeh daraisa chala derabanan. Even if truma in our time is min haTorah, maybe it's chala that's drabana. The Tanya bivoachem laaretz, I bivoachem. It says bivoachem yacham yishenichnasel l'shnayim u'shloshim raglin. Maybe that means when two or three, you know, Meraglim set foot in Eretz Yisrael from that time. Talmud lomer bevoachem, bebias kulchem amarti, velo bebias miktaschem, vechi askinu Ezra, lav, kulu, saluk. And at the time of Ezra, there wasn't a majority. There certainly wasn't a totality. What comes out of this Gemara? Very interesting Gemara. The Gemara is weighing the relationship between two seemingly similar requirements or mitzvahs. One is trumos and the other is chala. Right? In fact, they're so connected ad kedei kach that truma, that chala rather is a truma. Chala sometimes has a din of truma. Okay, anyways, so the Gemara is weighing them. The Gemara is saying it's possible that even if truma is daraisa, chala is drabanan, because bias kolchem based on v'hayav chisavo la'aretz or b'vo'achem la'aretz, how does it say? B'vo'achem la'aretz, so that means bias kolchem. That's the Gemara. Or maybe the opposite is true. Maybe truma is drabanan and chala is daraisa. After all, in the first 14 years after Knisa La'aretz, right, Chala already began without Trumas. So this is a Gemara that is weighing the relationship between Chala and Truma and presenting two opposite scenarios, one of which is that it's easier for Chala to be Daraisa or it's easier for Truma to be Daraisa. But one thing that emerges is this is the only Gemara in Shas, I think, which ever talks about the factor of Bias Kochem. And all the Gemara says is, but b'vo'achem ala aretz, b'yas kulchem, b'lo b'yas miktaschem, that pasuk, which is in Parsha Shlach, which is said with respect to chala, and it's applied in this Gemara exclusively to chala, and to the contrast of truma. Because the Gemara is saying, maybe chal is drabanan, even if trum is daraisa, because there's no bias kochen. How does the Rambam get from there to equating truma and chala, right? And saying that truma too, right, is affected by the absence of bias kochen. There's no pasuk ubavachen in truma. There's no gemara that applies this concept. And the one gemara that applies it to chala contrasts it to truma. That's what the Ravid meant. Go back to the Ravid for a moment. That's what the Ravid meant when he said, the Isa Lahamilsa Bechala Hu De Isa. If there's a concept of Bias Kochav applies to Chala, but it doesn't apply to Truma. There's no Pasuk and there's no Gemara. So the Rambam did a very, very remarkable thing. He seemingly, I emphasize the word seemingly, misled us in Ilchos Beis HaBechira, because he doesn't mention at all this whole bombshell doesn't exist in Ilchos Beis HaBechira. You walk away. If all you do is learn Ilchos Beis HaBechira and you paskin based on that, you think Truma, Sumaisers, Bismanazah, and Shemitah are Dorais. Not only that, even if you already get to learn the beginning of Hukos Trumos, right? Until you get to Halacha Kavav, the last Halacha in the Perek, since you read Perek Aleph Halacha Dalad, you've been under the clear impression that Trumos and Maestros, based on Kedusha Shnia, Lo Betela, is Minat Torah. Now the Rambam, again, is the greatest, you know, organizer the halacha has ever known. And he's writing a Sefer Psak. I believe this is always one of my proofs that the Rambam, you know, is writing much more than a Sefer Psak. To him, conceptual purity of presentation is more important, overrides technical, you know, Psak in some cases, because otherwise his decision here and in other places, the way he presents things, is just, you know, incomprehensible.
If
you're writing a Sefer Psak alone, then you don't want to mislead people in Hilchos Beis HaBechira on the beginning of Hilchos Trumos. You at least want to put a ayin, you know, or we'll deal with the Psak later. You want to foreshadow, but he doesn't. It's a bombshell. It's a bombshell that appears 20 odd halachos after, you know, he deals with the topic and seemingly finished with it, and long after Hilchos Beis HaBechira. So A, where's the makor? B, why does he present it this way? And C, it seems to contradict almost what he said previously. Something at the right.
I don't think it's a contradiction.
Okay.
Very simply, potentially there is a din of Trumas and Maizos in Minat Torah. If you can comply with the requirement of Bias Kochem, then you're Chayev in Trumas and Maizos. It's a Tanai, but it doesn't mean that there's no Kedusha.
Oh, very good. So what you're saying is the Beis Halevi's perspective, which we'll get to in just a minute. It's still fascinating that he presents it that way, right? Because if you're writing just a pure Sefer Psak Halacha, then that you wouldn't present it that way. Because you don't want people to be in the dark about what to do, you know, without at least saying Ayin, right? But as an explanation, what you're saying is, this is what I mean when I say that first and foremost, the Rambam's work is a conceptual work. So he presents things as they are, even if sometimes he has to sacrifice, right, practical clarity in the Psak. So what you're saying is something else, and we'll elaborate this as the Beis Halevi's perspective. That is, that conceptually, the Kedusha Sa'aretz aspect of it is Daraisa, right? The Chiyuv is Daraisa,
right,
or would be Daraisa. but there's an extraneous
Tanai,
you know, you're not compliant with an additional requirement, you know, and that's why Lemaisa it's Drabana. But it's not Drabana because Kedusha Saharetz is Drabana, right?
Right.
So that's exactly, and I think that's implicit in Minchas Chinuch and earlier in the Radvaz and certainly the Beis Halevi, and we'll get to that, you know, in just a minute. But we'll get to it right now, might as well. So the Radvaz here, look at the Radvaz in Hilchos Trumos. I said we're gonna have to finish this next week because we're almost out of time, but we'll finish this up next week, Mirat Hashem, and we'll also try to go on to the Sugya Daf Ches. Ches Amud Aleph. Second. Yeah. So the Radvaz says a fascinating thing here. I think I mentioned it last week already. Before he ends up saying something more moderate, look at the one on the second Radvaz. What line is that? Is it still on page one or is it already in page two?
Page two.
Once that starts with Kivin She'alu B'nei Agola.
35. Line 35.
What's page, line 35 of page one?
Page two.
I mean, on page two, sorry. Okay. At the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
Okay. So he says the following. Skip the second line. Ika l'medak hacha. The Ole Babel Kinshu L'Shaita lost to Lavo. It's clear from the Rambam that the Zechiv Trumas HaMaiser is Daraisa. Vim Kain Trumas HaMaiser Snogu B'Bai Sheni Min HaTorah. Rabbeinu Kosa B'Sof HaPerek Shol Nogu Alim Adrabanon. Zerbina Bilas Kochem Ubi Me'ezra Lo Alu Kulam. It sounds, which is what the Ravid asks. The Rambam sounds differently in the two places. The Ra'isi Mishakasav, first he has this very fascinating suggestion. Ra'isi Mishakasav, Delaho Ila Kedusha Stezra, Kivan Shalobau Kulam Lamafreya Elamidibre. Avakol Yemei Habayis, Oswa Kol Kedin Torah, Truma Sumaitsra, Shmitan, Umani Ovalos, Koyumitsapin Tamid Bibiyasam. But that's a fascinating idea. It sounds like what these people were saying was that the Rambam's view was that Bias Kolchem was going to be, you know, assessed throughout the entire epoch of Bais Sheni. If at any point in Bais Sheni, you know, Klal Yisrael, we're going to reach those numbers, right, then, or the assumption of its being Kedusha Daraisa was based on the assumption that at some point, again, whether it's, you know, Mikano La Bola Mafreya or La Mafreya La Mafreya, it sounds to me like it's Daraisa assuming or with the expectation that at some point it'll fill in. But then, as opposed to saying it's Rabbanan, but if it ever fills in, then it will be Daraisa L'Mafreya. Either way, it's very mechudash. But it's the idea of treating the whole epoch, the whole period, as a period. That in itself is an interesting thing. Like there's a chalos by Bais Sheni, A, and B, that Klal Yisrael's response, you know, to Eretz Yisrael at some point is relevant to all of it in both directions. Then he says, two things. Number one, it sounds like even if you're going to say this already, maybe say, yeah, they only had till the Chorban. Sounds like after the Chorban, they gave up hope. And that's what it turned to Rabbana. As long as it was hope, then what, it depended on their hope? Remarkable. But once they didn't have hope, that was Koveya. And then from then on, not even Lamafreya. A very fascinating idea. So Zeu Das HaRambam. The Ein Zanachon Klal, Radvaz doesn't like it. Even the Bina Bias Kulchan Velo Boe, Chefshar Shiu Noyim Metrumis or Meisters Minat Torah. Umi Yamin, she's Chalef Bohem, being Kodim Yush, Lachar Yush, Halukvar Nisiyah Shem Aseres HaShvatim. If it was about a Yush, then it would have been earlier because the 10 Shvatim are already out. Shal Nodim Akomam, Echiu Noyim Minat Torah. So he doesn't like it. I find the Shita to be fascinating. Banachon Bezeh, what's his idea? Shehoila Kedusha Sezer L'chol Advarim Shelo Yutsuyim B'Bias Kolcha. He says, basically, what the Rama means to do is speak exactly what you said on two levels. Anything that doesn't depend on B'Bias Kolcha, there's Kedushas Ha'aretz Malaya, and therefore, Rambam is speaking accurately. Kigon, Shmitin, Yovlos, Ubat Erechoma, Ubikurim, all these things he think have nothing to do with B'as Kolchem, number one. Ukedushas Yerushalayim Vamikdash, of course. Ava Trumas Amaisus Vachala, Debin B'as Kolchem, Afi Me Ezra, Lonoglam Adivrayim. So he completely, he says, you know, what the Rambam seems to say about Kedushas Arts is because it applies to almost all of the other Bitsatluyas, which fits in with what you were saying mostly, which is that it's just a t'nai in chala, t'nai in truma, t'nai possibly in maestros. Vasha nicha, sogas arayvid, jikosav lahita rebi ala maestro yerek, uperisa ilan, ol shem v'drabanan, afil aberitz Yisrael, rabbeinu sovar shak, kol bimeazu drabanan, afil dogan tirish v'yitzar, luka kashita rebi beit shan, akol hitir. So the minchas chinuch, in all over the place, says it limits B'as Kolchem. It says B'as Kolchem doesn't apply to Bikurim, just like the Radvaz. You know, he's later, of course. It doesn't apply to Bikurim, doesn't apply to Leket Shechupeya, and so on. In other words, it only applies in the Chabalah Kiddusha. Pashtus, if that's the case, and you would say what you just said, which is that, you know, even regarding Trumos and Maestros and Challah, right, it's not a din in Kedushas Haaretz. It's despite the full Kedushas Haaretz, there's a t'nai, right, that you also need B'as Kolchem for these particular things. The question is why? Right? The challah, you could say it's Exeris HaKasuv. And challah anywhere works a little bit differently. The kula and the chomra. But you also have the first, you know, 14 years. That's, you know, Lakula, or Chumra, depending on one of you. But why? Why Trumas and Maestros? Why do they have B'as Kolchem without a Pasuk? Oh. So the Beis HaLevi, actually, I'm just going to mention for 1 minute, then we'll stop. The Beis HaLevi has a very, very long tshuva in Chelek Gimel Siman Aleph. This is his response to all the tumult going on about the Heter Mechira, you know, in his time. So I'm going to read part of it next week. What I want to show for next week is that the Beis HaLevi thought that B'as Kolchem, according to the Rambam, also is Poter Mishmita, not just from Trumas and Maestros. This was also the view of Reb Chaim. But that while the Beis HaLevi, I'm going to try to show next week, took your view again, mostly, which is that B'as Kolchem is a t'nai. As I say, it's an extraneous requirement. It doesn't affect Kedushas Haaretz. And that has certain consequences. But Reb Chaim, in his discussion, actually took seemingly the opposite view. Chaim thought that B'as Kolchem is something that requires Kedushas Haaretz. That, for example, the key point is that in the time of Ezra, at that point, there wasn't a majority. You can't fill that in later against the Radvaz.
Rabbi Rosenzweig, could you repeat the transmission? What? Was not good. Could you repeat the last minute or two? Because it didn't come through. Somebody's okay. Transmission again. Can you repeat the Beis Halevi?
Sure. So what I said was that the Beis Halevi wrote a tshuva simen gimel, a chela gimel simen aleph, a very, very long tshuva, in which he weighs in and also responds to the controversy over the Heter Mechira in his time. I'll read you some of the interesting parts of it. It's just a very fascinating tshuva. But the thrust of what he says is, he also quotes with San Reb Chaim, a little differently than the Chibur has it. The thrust of what he says is, again, that Bias Kolchem, he extends Bias Kolchem to Shemitah. He thinks that it applies to it. But he also thinks that's an extraneous requirement, like you said, and that it has nothing to do with the presence of Kedushas Karka of Eretz Yisrael. Even in the absence of Bias Kolchem, there is Kedushas Karka. That's the Beis Halevi's view. However, Reb Chaim in the Chibur, both in Hilchos Trumos and in Hilchos Shvius, does not present it that way at all. Reb Chaim was medayik in the Gemara in Ksuvos that Bias Kolchem was determined at the initiation of Ezra's Kiddush. It could not be compensated for, filled in later, against the Radvaz. And he felt that the reason for this was because Bias Kolchem is a factor in Kedushas Karka itself. I mean, this he distinguished between the din of Kol Yosheva Aleha of Yovel and Bias Kolchem of Chal. So that's what I want to discuss next week, and the effect that had on some aspects of the Heter Mechira. We're not going to go into the whole Heter Mechira, but the Beis Halevi and Reb Chaim's take, it affects a little bit our, question, what's the status of Kedushas HaAretz, Bizman HaZeh, and my Hashkafic issue connected with the other part, which is, what is the relationship between Am Yisrael and Kedushas HaAretz Yisrael? Okay. All right, so Mirza Hashem will continue next week.